Good morning on this Tuesday. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you. I'm really fired up by the next 2 hours. We got some great stuff to get to. Gambling, we've told you this, with its legalization, with just human nature, was always going to end up being a scourge for sports. You were always going to have players gambling on the games they play in, and how that was navigated since gambling got legalized was going to be a big issue. Baseball trying to tackle this, it is a significant problem. I have a solution. I'll give that to you in about 40 minutes. Great news on Deion Sanders. Great news. Cancer-free, very serious health scare. Kept it pretty close to the vest, including from his kids. We'll talk about that. Luka Doncic is in his revenge bod mode. Man, I don't want to be the Mavs. Rest in peace to Ryan Sandberg, a man that I met twice. Incredible legend as a Cub. We'll talk about him. Ari Mirov is going to be on the show. Great NFL insider, prognosticator. We'll do buy or sell. Yesterday, here on Rider Than You, I told you that last week's vacation resulted in me getting the bird 4 times. And we were trying to figure out whether it was me or the people that I was driving around. I was getting the middle finger. Not a parrot as a gift. The finger that tells you to do something anatomically impossible to oneself. Okay. I don't get, it's not as if I walk through the universe and I'm just getting the bird left and right. Yesterday, I got it again while I was driving. And I think it's the universe answering whether it's me or these other people. So we'll get into that in about 20 minutes. This lady was all kinds of mad. My son Henry, who's 13, was very excited because he saw it, to at the dinner table show me what she did. And I said, I see it, buddy. And then he did it again. I said, put your hand down. He said, I just want you to see what she, got it, man. Got it. So thanks to that lady for making sure my kid could give me the bird. I guess I got the bird twice yesterday, if you include the reenactment. All right. Bryce Harper didn't even bother with the bird. We'll get to that here right now. To Robert Manfred. Phone number is 888-710-4ISN. Some news that came down yesterday. The commissioner of Major League Baseball, Mr. Manfred, a person that's been a punching bag, I think rightfully so on this program, was last week at the Phillies clubhouse, and he was talking about the possibility of what happens when the next collective bargaining agreement is up. It's the end of next year, basically, like a little more than a year from now. We're not that far from a potential lockout, a couple years away. And the big headline, the big oh my God moment was that Bryce Harper, star player, highly compensated player, great baseball player, told Robert Manfred, the commissioner, after the commissioner brought up what he hopes to be in those negotiations, a push, a possibility, a conversation about a salary cap in baseball, Bryce Harper said that he could get the bleep out of here. Get the bleep, think middle finger, get the bleep out of our clubhouse. And Manfred, this is according to Jeff Passan, who flushed out these details after some local reporters reported this was a tense meeting. Manfred, to his credit, said he's not going to get the bleep out of here and continued to talk. Now, a little context for you. First of all, Major League Baseball is the only major American sport without a salary cap. So just think about that and put it aside for a second. Manfred makes the rounds quietly, not normally publicized, not normally this kind of attention, not normally a star player telling him to get the bleep out of the clubhouse, but Manfred every year goes to every one of the 30 clubhouses in baseball. That's been going on since the last lockout. You're going to read and hear about Harper telling him what I just told you about. You're going to read and hear about Mark DeRosa, who's on the payroll, former player, basically sounding like he's threatening Harper and other players that Manfred's a powerful guy. You're going to hear a lot of things. You're going to hear people on both sides of this talk about the salary cap and how Manfred's an idiot or Bryce is going to be nicer. Here's the deal. This is great news. Bring it on. Let's go. Bryce Harper telling the commissioner of Major League Baseball to get the bleep out of the clubhouse. And the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and I imagine this isn't reported, rather diplomatically saying, I'm not going to get the bleep out of here. You know, kind of put out, is the music, is the orchestra, is the background music to what could be the right thing for sports fans. Bring it on. Let's go. Good news. Wouldn't it be something, when I saw this, as I processed it, and again, I've made fun of Robert Manfred. We had a whole shtick here for a year where we pretended that he was stuck in the 1920s and didn't know computers existed and only operated on typewriters. Wouldn't it be something if this commissioner fixed baseball? Because baseball, it needs to be fixed. And look, those of you out there that are driving off the road, be safe, be careful. I don't need you to get the bird from other people like I've been doing. Don't yell at me. Don't throw anything about at your radio. I love the game. I love the sport. I love baseball, which is why that I protect it and I cherish it. You know the old, nobody's allowed to make fun of my family or my religion or my alma mater or my high school but me kind of thing, right? Like, I make fun of Penn State because Ryan went there, the executive producer, but that's not cool. But Ryan can do it, right? I'm Catholic, so I can make fun of my church, but you're not supposed to in theory. I can make fun of my brother. Maybe it's a better comp. Bobby deserves made fun of. But when other people did when I was younger, those were fighting words. That's how I feel about baseball. We're in this together if you love baseball. I'm not an outsider saying this sport is stupid. I love the sport. But it is a fact. And whether you're, you know, you're a Mets fan, you're a Dodgers fan, you're a Cubs fan, whatever, it is a fact that a cluster of teams at the top of Major League Baseball dominate the sport because they dominate its spending. And that those teams, think the Dodgers, think the Mets, think the Yankees, think the Phillies, have a very high payroll, spend more than the bottom two or three or four combined year to year. And yeah, there are exceptions to the rule that are able to win and have some success without spending a lot of money, but there is a direct and absolute correlation between the top spending teams and the top teams in the sport. You don't have to be well run, you just have to have deep pockets. That is the reality. That is the fact. The top eight spenders in baseball have winning records this year. The bottom eight spenders all have losing records except for, you ready? Your Milwaukee Brewers, who are really, really well run. And in fairness, Cleveland is really close. Okay. Robert Manfred's not wrong. Now, there are details that are going to get into this and make it complicated and hard to sort of sort out. But can we not pretend that Bryce Harper is some hero of the working man who's out there looking out for everybody in the sport? This is a guy who makes, what, $26 million a year. By the way, Robert Manfred makes 10 or 11. That's not public, but that's the reported amount depending where you look. These are multi-millionaires. That's 1 year. Multi-millionaires arguing with multi-millionaires. The reality is that baseball needs to have a product in which every team is capable of winning. And there are models for this. I'm not making this up. I'm not sitting in my, you know, studio here in L.A. wondering if I'm going to get the bird again on my drive home, just being Pollyannish and saying, ah, let's just fix it. The NFL has a model. The NBA has a model. The NFL's is best for fans and worse for players. The NBA's is really good for players. It's okay for fans. It's better than baseball's. I don't care if the people that Robert Manfred works for, the owners, make a little bit or a lot more money. I don't care. I don't care if stars in baseball, if the Bryce Harpers of the world make a little bit more money or a lot more money. I could not care less. Did you know that the minimum requirement for a veteran in Major League Baseball is $760,000 a year? Bit of a misnomer, though, because Bryce Harper, has teammates who are making $360,000, $480,000. It depends on years of service. There's a huge disparity of income in what these guys make. No. What Bryce Harper is going to tell basically the owners through the commissioner to go bleep themselves over, and what the owners are going to tell the players through their commissioner to go bleep themselves over, is their arguing over wealth and their arguments about what's best for them individually. In fact, Bryce Harper isn't arguing on behalf of baseball. He's arguing on behalf of Bryce Harper. That's fine. We all work places. I do too. We all have superstars where we work. Whatever we do for a living, we make the most money. For me, it's Ryan Hickey. Apparently, he makes all the money at the place. And I guess I'm not mad at those people for making the money that they make, but I would never put the highest paid radio host, television host, in charge of negotiating my salary as a group, because he's going to negotiate for him at the expense of me. That's the reality. That's the fact. Let's go through these models a little bit, because should the players accept a salary cap with nothing in return? Is Bryce Harper technically right if we don't get into details? We don't do details well, especially in America in 2025. We don't like nuance. Not in the age of X and Twitter and all these things. No, of course not. None of it limits income. not if it allows teams to basically further cheapen the game by not spending money, not if it further rewards or empowers or allows teams to mimic what the Marlins do or Tampa Bay does or Washington's doing right now or the A's. Maybe that'll change as they integrate themselves into Las Vegas or the White Sox who don't spend any money. I mean, the Pirates are a joke of an organization when it comes to spending cash. But on the other side of that, you can create a salary cap. This is more the NBA model. Look, if I had a magic wand, if I could just fix baseball, I would create an NFL model. It would screw over the players. It would take money out of some of their pockets, and you would have a sport where there's more parity. And I know we get trained to roll our eyes on this. It's what's best for baseball. And the thing that's infuriating about baseball, to me, that it's the one sport without a salary cap, that it's the one sport without price controls, that it's the one sport where all the money matters, it's also the sport where you can't draft your way to a success. There's not some quarterback that you're just going to pick with the first pick if you're bad enough. This is not a sport where you can overnight fix things by putting together a couple trades. You literally have minor league systems spread across the country, you know this, that develop talent. And the ability to develop talent used to be the ability to win baseball games. And now if you're the Yankees and the Mets, the Cubs, or who my Cubs, you can just cheat. You can just... Kyle Schwarber's got 34 homers this year. What's he making a year? $20 million? There was a time when he'd still be a Cub. He would have been developed by that system. So baseball is a sport that if it had any kind of price controls, anything Manfred is pushing, and he's not doing it out of the benefit, out of the goodness of his baseball heart either. He's just doing it for the greed of the owners. I get it. But if you let baseball operate with some controls, with an even playing field, then the Brewers or the Cardinals or the Athletics or the Tampa Bay Rays, they can all operate based on how they draft, how they scout, how they develop talent. And we know, outside of Bryce Harper's, the rare kids who come out of Vegas and are on the cover of Sports Illustrated when they're 15, maybe why they're comfortable telling the commissioner to get the bleep out, most of these guys are in the minors, the ones that make it 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It's a process. And I want to go back to that process leading to success. Not the Yankees have money, the Dodgers have money, they spend 4 or 5 times some of their competitors, and they're always going to win. And here's how you do it. And this is where the owners are going to tell Bryce Harper and whoever would deliver this message to get the bleep out of their office. Just have a floor. And this is the NBA model. What Bryce Harper pretends that he's frustrated about, what he pretends that he's angry about, is the idea that baseball is going to spend less money. But that's not what he's worried about. He's worried they're going to spend less money on him. Because you can actually negotiate a system. And again, the NBA just did this. We'll see how it plays out, how it works. I think it's going to be a huge success. And the NFL has this, although they have it without the same amount of wealth. You just require, in basketball, it's basketball-related income. In the NFL, they don't do it this way. In Major League Baseball, it'd have to be baseball-related income. You just require in the contract that of all the money that is made by Major League Baseball, ticket sales, jersey sales, TV rights, that's where the money actually is, right? TV rights, that a percentage of it, it's half for the NBA, smaller for the NFL, that a percentage of it has to go to salaries. And then as a part of that, there is a cap on what a team can spend. There is a floor on what a team can spend. And while the Bryce Harpers of the world may run the risk of not making quite the same amount of money, you won't be able to spend $68 million on your team, which is to say twice of the highest paid guy in that Phillies clubhouse, by the way. Or Tampa Bay spends $90 million. Or Washington spends $115 million. If you create a floor, and I'm not a numbers guy, but if you create a floor in a league where the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets are, you know, they're going to spend in the neighborhood every year of $300 million, right? It's going to be more or less. It goes up and down depending on contracts. You require $180 or $200 or $220 as a floor, and you make sure that money gets distributed. Guess what? Everybody wins. I don't care about players getting richer. I don't. I don't care about owners getting poorer. They're going to be fine. In fact, this system probably benefits players more. It doesn't benefit the Bryce Harpers of the world. If you're some guy that plays 118 games a year and you hit 260 and you can play 3 or 4 positions and you make contact and you're a pretty good fielder, right? You can play second base and shortstop and they can throw you in outfield. You're going to make $1.2 million in the current system a year. What I'm proposing is maybe you're making $3 million. Look at NBA salaries, how they've gone through the roof. Here's the thing. Don't get distracted. A lockout's not a bad thing. A strike's not a bad thing. If that is the price for baseball for my kids and their kids, and maybe me if I can hang on a little bit longer from these crazy people I'm driving around, to enjoy a sport where everybody's got a chance, where every year I don't have to write off 9 or 10 teams. A third of the league can't win. Look, I know I'm running out of time here and I'm ranting because it pisses me off. Take the Milwaukee Brewers. That is a really well-run organization. They are on track this year to have a winning record for the 7th time in 8 seasons. They literally lost their manager to their rival, my Chicago Cubs, because the Cubs a few years ago just gave them more money. They can't even remotely compete in resources. They are routinely in the bottom 6-7 they are this year in spending. And yet they win and they make the playoffs, and guess what they don't do? They don't actually succeed in the postseason because they don't have the resources to go over the top. Because to build a winner in the regular season, 162-game marathon, is different than to build one in the postseason. In a sample size, it's a little bit different. And the Dodgers have mastered this. You spend massive amounts of money on guys that can generate runs on their own and on pitching. And you're able, if you're the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have a starting rotation when healthy, that basically is 7 or 8 guys if you were the A's or the Marlins or maybe even the Brewers. In the model I'm talking about, money, and money gets redistributed. This is part of the deal. So look, Bryce Harper can be mad at Manfred and puff up his chest. Manfred, who makes, by the way, a third of what Bryce Harper does. Bryce Harper pretending to be there for the sport. And Manfred can carry water for the owners, many of whom are greedy as hell. Take the Pittsburgh Pirates owners and the way in which they have absolutely failed that organization and that fan base. And not just the Pirates. But the reality is that these two guys not wanting to be in the same room, or at least Bryce Harper, and telling each other to do things anatomically impossible to themselves, and this impending problem of a lockout is actually a solution. What you need in these negotiations is for neither side to win. So bring it on. I like it. I'm not going to wring my hands. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to be, oh, it's going to ruin baseball. Baseball's not where it needs to be. And if you want to live in a world where 6 or 7 teams every year are guaranteed to make the playoffs, and of those 6 or 7 teams, 5 out of 6 years, one of them is going to win the World Series, and every now and then, every 10 years, the Royals are going to sneak in and win. Stop giving me, and I know David Sampson, this, you know, looking at the teams at last year, look at who wins. Just look at who wins. There is no universe for half of the markets in baseball that those teams are even remotely likely to win a World Series over a 10 or 15-year timeline. That's ridiculous. And you're the Pirates, and you accidentally land the best player and the best pitcher in that draft. And Paul Skenes, you know he's going to be somewhere. Give me a break. So, with all respect to Bryce Harper, shut the bleep up, sit down, and let your union create a system that's good for your teammates and good for your colleagues and good for baseball. All right. Go Robert Manfred, words I never thought I'd say. Now I want to give myself the bird. 888-710-4ISN. All right, I ran a little late. We got a lot to get to. Luka Doncic is in his revenge body mode. Deion Sanders is healthy, thank God. And we'll evaluate whether or not it's me or everyone else that is causing road rage headed in my direction. All answers to all those questions next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
There is a fascinating do-or-die fork in the road. Is he Neon Deion or is he Levon Deion? That didn't work, but I'm going to keep... Fry, we'll go for some puns.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you on this Tuesday. In recap, lockout strike good if it leads to something that is a better, if it leads to a better product for baseball. You're not going to agree if you're a Yankees or a Dodgers fan. You got the system on lockdown. You basically have a cheat code. I don't need every star to play in New York or L.A. or Chicago, for that matter. Now, the Cubs are good at that. I want the Marlins and the Pirates and the A's to be good. I want the Royals to be relevant. I really just want the teams that have the best-run front offices and farm systems. I didn't bring this team up because I hate them, but I also respect the hell out of them. The St. Louis Cardinals for years won in this model. But it's been a minute since they were in a World Series. I want those markets to be effective. Okay, 888-710-4ISN. Let's get into some good news. Deion Sanders, head coach of Colorado, one of the preeminent stars in all of sports, announced yesterday that he had a cancerous tumor in his bladder. It sounded like it was extraordinarily serious. He had surgery to remove his bladder back in spring. We knew there were health issues. We weren't quite sure what was going on. Doctors announced he was cancer-free, which is amazing. He lost a bunch of weight. He had complications after surgery. But he was in a robustly positive, funny, thankful, spiritual place yesterday. It is a thing, and we've had some health stuff in my family that we've navigated that we've gotten really good news on in the last couple, 2 or 3 months. You know, some real worries, right? And we've all been through this. It is a thing to behold when all of a sudden you get the relief of something that you thought was life-threatening. And that's where Deion Sanders was. And he basically yesterday was like, hey, after all of this, I'm back, baby.
I don't have to rely on him. I'm back, baby. I'm back. I don't rely on them no more. I'm going to be with them. You know, the Bible says, remember the rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Okay, so we're going to comfort one another. And I love them. We have a wonderful staff. And thank God that they're good enough that I don't have to babysit. I don't have to be there every minute too. And I know they got that.
What's amazing about this, and for those of you that have had health issues yourself or with people you love, it's a weight to carry. And you don't really know what to share and who to share it with, but you want comfort, right? It's an interesting thing to navigate. And I found this to be shocking and impressive, and I don't know that I could do this. Deion Sanders, again, facing a life-threatening situation, very serious form of cancer, in a very problematic place, kept it private even from his family.
It was some scenes that you saw, all the bull junk that transpired on draft day. It wasn't just that. It was just I knew as well I had a surgery coming up. My sons to this day don't know what transpired. I just told them something with my foot, again, because I wanted them to focus on making the team and not focused on dad.
So the full conclusion. And I was worried yesterday when he announced he was going to have a press conference with doctors that it was going to be bad news, that it was going to be the news that we just got, but hey, the surgery didn't quite take, and you know the doctors don't think there's a lot of time left, but I'm going to be able to fight. That's not what we got. We got incredible news. It's a celebration. I'm so happy for Deion Sanders and his family. It's amazing. All right. Very quickly, I know we got a lot going on. We have phone calls at 888-710-4ISN. Bear with us. We'll get to you. If you can hang in there, please. Thanks for calling in. Talks in baseball, 888-710-4ISN. Good morning, Ryan Hickey, for the third time. You and I have this weird thing where we say good morning to each other in the morning, and then you come into the control room, I'm in L.A., you're in New York, and then as everyone's leaving, we say good morning again as if we haven't spoken to each other, and then when we talk on the air for the first time, I pretend. So, hello again, friend.
Hello, Bill, for a third time.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story, and I want you to tell me if I'm the bad guy, okay?
Can't
like
wait.
The Reddit, am I the bleephole, okay? As a recap, for those that didn't hear yesterday, I just got back from vacation last week driving around Central California, and I got the bird 4 times. And Ryan, I believe you concluded that I was in the wrong one of the three that I can remember.
That's correct, yes. 2, I think the other person was in the wrong. The 1 time, cut someone off. That's on you.
I'm a magnet for this stuff. So I'm going to tell the story. This is a totally accurate telling. Where I live is a 2... All right, there's an intersection, okay? There's an intersection. It is not a 4-way stop sign. There are stop signs going one direction, the other direction you drive through. We're all familiar with this, right? People run these stop signs all the time. When I drive kind of down by the beach because there's tourists and there's... And it just, it's a huge pet peeve of mine. People just don't stop at stop signs anymore. I don't know about where you live, just where I live, people are just crazy. So I'm driving my son somewhere. My son and wife are in the car. And I always slow down because it's like a 35. I always go 20 through here, 15. Because people blow the stop sign. I'm driving along, and a lady comes barreling down the hill, 40 miles an hour, and blows through the stop sign. Would have hit my wife and my son's side of the car, but I saw it coming because I'm looking for it, and I laid my horn on. And she slams her brakes on and veers to the right, laid my horn on. Because she's running the stop sign, and if I can give more details, this is a place where like kids are riding bikes, kids are... It makes me mad when people do this, because you're going to hit somebody's kid someday. And this lady, SUV, she had some really, I don't know anything about jewelry or money, but it looked like she had some money, gave me the crazy bird. Just the F. So then she got behind me, was riding up on me, and we came to the next intersection, I stopped. Laura got really mad at me. I stopped my car, rolled my window down, and pointed at the stop sign. And then she realized, oh, there was a stop sign back there. And then I clapped for her, and then I drove on. And she, like, you know, she did those. She just did a right turn in some random street because she didn't want to be. Right, okay. I don't think I'm the a-hole here, am I?
No, I think you're in the right. That's hilarious. Point of the stop sign. That's very funny. I like that.
Yeah. It's a public service announcement.
I am shocked, to be honest, that four stories you've told in the last 24 hours of you getting the bird, that three of them I would say, okay, you know what? You're probably not in the wrong. You're in the right. I can't believe it.
I think it's the universe telling me, Bill, don't back down. By the way, I don't think I'm in the wrong for riding somebody in a left lane in a highway. Get over to the right.
I agree. No, well, the one time you cut someone off, right? You said you jumped in front of them.
I cut them off, but that was a pretty, like, you know, that was a traffic jam. There was a lot of bing-bonging around.
I could see, I think the person giving you the finger, I get from their perspective. I think that they are justified.
Why the finger? Why can't you just throw your hand up? I'll do a throw my hand up thing. Throw a hand up.
Doesn't cut through. If that lady yesterday just threw her hand up instead of giving you, like, we're not talking about the
story. I would have pointed at the sign anyway.
The bird is the only thing you can do visually that really cuts through to show someone you're pissed off.
There's nothing better than having that moment and the person thinking that you're wrong and then them realizing that they're wrong.
Did she say, like, she put her hand up like, my bad, or?
No. Here's the other thing. Even if there weren't a stop sign for her, and there was, she's like Bryce Harper, self-righteous but wrong. She took that right turn like it was on rails, bro. What are you doing, lady? What are you doing? You're next to a park. There's a park there. All right. Rant over. I'm getting the bird a lot. We're nice here. We promise, but apparently not in the car.
Do you have a neighborhood watch? I feel like you could take up that role and be pretty good at it.
Somebody asked me to do that, to take up the neighborhood watch. You know what I said? No, thank you.
I mean, it
sounds like a lot of work.
And you're going to be blamed for everything.
Yeah, I don't want that responsibility.
Oh, they do like confrontation, so you would definitely get that.
Dude, I don't need it in my house. I got a guy up the street who puts signs and crazy signs out, chains in front of his house so people won't park there. It's really ugly. And then he has a microphone where when people pull up and like drop people off on Uber or anything, he's like, get out of here, because he lives somewhere else. And then another neighbor apparently got pissed off and just went into his yard and tore up all his signs and threw them everywhere. And then the police came. I'm good. I don't need any of this drama or energy. What is up with these people, these rich people, man? They're crazy.
It's like the guy with the signs and the microphone is crazier than the neighbor who took his anger out.
It's a lot. It's a lot of parking.
Your community is very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to get out of here.
Before you become one of those people.
I got to get out of here, man. Very quickly, we don't have any time for this, and I know that Andrew Bogus has an update and wants to talk about aliens or something. I don't know what it was. He loves alien stuff. It's not like I'm just texting about alien probes. I wouldn't do that. Luka Doncic, you see this? Is it Men's Health? I don't know. Is it Men's Journal? The Journal of Men? Whatever, one of those. Right? He looks like he's in really good shape. And normally I would dismiss this as off-season stuff doesn't matter. Normally this would be the equivalent of Ben Simmons hitting shots in the gym. Did you see these videos come out the other day? Every year. I mean, come on. I can have a video of me talking to a pretty girl. It doesn't mean I'm going to go pick up Scarlett Johansson. What are we talking about here? Like, please. However, here's my quick theory. I think this is Luka Doncic's revenge body. And I think that it's not the Mavs' fault. I don't think Luka suddenly in amazing shape, and what that's probably going to mean for his game is proof that the Mavs screwed up by getting rid of him. Have you known people, because I have, Ryan, who break up with someone or get broken up with and then just get massive? I'll give you a story. A buddy of mine, very quickly, I know I got to go fast. Buddy of mine, married, loves his wife. They got in a fight, got worse. He moved out. He thought they were going to fix it. He just found out maybe 4 months ago she wants a divorce. It's over, right? Yeah, it's a bummer. Dude, this guy has lost 35 pounds. He's like 38, was pretty chunky. He's lost 35 pounds. He runs all the time. I see him around town running all the time. I wonder if he gets the bird everywhere he goes. He doesn't want this life, but he's got women are just flocking to him, right? He'd rather be his soon-to-be ex-wife. My point is, he got in massive shape out of sort of revenge body mode, right? I once broke up with somebody and you know, she, whatever. Okay, I'm sorry. I was bad as a jerk 20 years ago, and she got in really good shape or whatever. Okay, great. Cool. I married her. Okay, the point is, The point is, it's human nature, right? What are you laughing at? It's human. We're all young once, Ryan.
Look, everyone, I don't say make you made your choices. That's
you
it.
Never broke up with your fiance one time?
No.
Okay. Don't talk anymore. This is your bad example. I think Luke is in his revenge body mode, and I think it's going to take because I think he's pissed off that the Mavericks got rid of him, and I think he's going to show him. The best revenge is massive success, and I think that's what's coming for the Lakers. 888-710-4ISN, if you're on the line, please hold for us. We will get to your phone calls, and I want to get into the scourge that is gambling. This is popping up in baseball right now and how to fix it as best one can after a sports flash from Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, your Sports Flash is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. New York City Mayor Eric Adams said this morning they now believe the alleged gunman in yesterday's deadly attack in Manhattan was targeting NFL headquarters. The man had a 3-page note on him claiming he had CTE from playing football through high school. His plan was to go to league offices in that building, but went to the wrong elevator bank. 4 people died, and an NFL employee was severely wounded. Roger Goodell told coworkers in a memo last night the man was in stable condition. He reportedly works in the league's finance department. Baseball, meanwhile, mourning the loss of Hall of Fame second baseman Ryne Sandberg, just 65 years old. Sandberg revealed in December that his prostate cancer had returned and spread. The Cubs had a game to play last night, losing in Milwaukee 8-4, dropping out of their tie with the Brewers atop the NL Central. The Mets' 7-game win streak ended 7-6 in San Diego, and Paige Becker scored 20 points to lead her Wings past the Liberty 92-82. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
The more likely that there's a problem, the more likely you are. It's on lockdown. I don't want Jordan yelling at me again.
It's not even Bill that they're afraid of. It's Jordan.
No, they're not afraid of Bill at all. He's a softy.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Good morning. What's up? Bill Ryder with you. Appreciate you listening. Bunch of you on the line at 888-710-4ISN. So we're going to take some phone calls. If you'd like to get in line, if you'd like to contribute, if you'd like your voice to be part of the program, 888-710-4476. Let's go to Lexington, Kentucky. Chris, what up, buddy? Good morning. You're on Writer Than You.
Man, Bill, first of all, welcome back, my friend. It sounds like you had a wonderful vacation. And these bird issues, man, I'm with Ryan. 3 out of the 4, man, they were not on you, especially that one. And I'm just so thankful that your wife and son were okay. Because that lady.
Me too, dude.
No.
Yeah.
Man, that could have been bad, Bill. So praise the Lord that that's all right.
Amen, dude. Amen.
Hey, and amen to you. I've called enough. You know where I'm from. So when you brought up the baseball issue this morning, Bill, man, I immediately knew the parallel that I was going to draw for you. I know you're not a big hockey guy, but I think you're going to agree with me. So. We would not have the Pittsburgh Penguins would not exist in Pittsburgh had, and I'm going to take you back to 2005, 2006, when the NHL finally woke up, and it caused a lockout for this to happen, but they finally instituted a salary cap. And because what was happening, yeah, we had success in the early 90s with Lemieux and the boys, won those back-to-backs in 91 and 92, but as the 90s wore on, Bill, the parity was not there. There was the Detroit, you know, because of the Little Caesars money coming in from that guy, the Illich family, I believe, and New York and L.A. But that's where it was. And I truly believe because it's hockey is not rooted in our country, I think it would have completely even fallen out of more favor than what baseball is, just because baseball has the American pastime history. You know what I mean? And what that salary cap did,
yeah.
Now you have parity. And what has happened, yes, you still have to draft and you still have to develop, but you can have your top heavy guys like we did now with Crosby and Malkin, won 3 cups in that time, and you got to manage the cap. But it gives teams at the beginning of the year, Bill, a chance if you manage your organization the right way. And I truly believe that if hockey wouldn't have done that, I don't know where it would be right now.
Chris, dude, we are 100% on the same page. Love the call. and this is obvious, but I'm going to say it. The defending NBA champions come out of Oklahoma City. The team that has won the most Super Bowls in the last 5-10 years, and were in a Super Bowl last year, come out of Kansas City. You just noted a hockey team that comes out of Pittsburgh that's had a track record of some success. This shouldn't be a shocker. If the National Football League is the biggest thing on the face of the earth. It's the biggest thing in sports on the face of the earth. And nobody thinks twice about, can Green Bay be successful? Can Kansas City be successful? Can Pittsburgh be successful? I don't have to guess what baseball is lacking. And the reality is, and I'm just going to say it, I like Jeff Passan and I like David Sampson. Those guys bristle at this idea because they think that by criticizing the format, the system, the CBA, I'm criticizing the game. I'm not. They're different. They're different. And I said this earlier. It's fighting words if somebody criticizes your family or your religion or maybe your political party or your alma mater. But if you do it, right, from a place of love with people that feel the same way, then it's a different conversation. I'm not taking shots at baseball, and Chris isn't either. Coming at a place from love. And I love the phone call. Love the perspective. 888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Dallas. Bigger market. Jamie hanging out. Jamie, thank you for listening. Appreciate you, brother. You're on Rider Than You.
Appreciate the opportunity to speak. Good morning. So just wanted to kind of come in here with some commentary on your take on the Luka thing. I think you're dead on. I think that's exactly what's happening. I think if you understand Luka, and if you, you know, there's a lot that's been made about his petulant behavior, perceived selfishness, things like that, his interactions with referees, all that. But if you kind of step back a little bit, you can see that this is someone that plays with a giant chip on his shoulder.
Yes.
And he loves to let everybody know, I'm that dude that you don't want. You know what I mean? And nothing is going to rewire him and re-engage him into his career in the NBA more than what's just gone on. You know, when the Mavericks played that tribute video that night, and you know, everybody was really, you know, caught up, and he was very emotional and all that, and it caught him off guard. But, you know, he was, as much as you can be and not be a Dallas Cowboy, he was the most celebrated athlete in the 20-plus years that I've lived in Dallas, especially that wasn't a Dallas Cowboy that I've ever seen. But what I saw in that tape was, as I saw these flashbacks to him getting drafted, his first couple of years in the league, I saw how bad of a physical condition he was in and how much weight he had actually put on, how much change had taken place. And I don't drop that 100% entirely in his lap, because prior to, you know, his last year or so here, he was carrying pretty bad teams, pretty bad rosters. And if you go back to the 2024 season, playoffs, and you look at the way he willed that team into the finals, first NBA player in NBA playoffs history, lead the league in playoffs in points, rebounds, assists, and steals, people don't remember he was getting a shot in his knee every single game. He acquired more and more and more and more injuries as the Western Conference, death march took on. He kept trying to bring it. We ran up against a Boston team that had probably the easiest path to the finals in NBA history. They were fresh. And it was the culmination of a better part of a decade run of that Boston team of getting to a championship. And these two things are just facts. They, you know, everybody wants to point fingers and this and that, and, you know, kind of like all the stuff that Tatum faced. And I feel like that's the biggest mistake that Nico Harrison and the Mavericks made, was not being thankful for the sacrifices that Luka made carrying those bad teams.
Well, not even also, realizing what they had, right? I mean, not like, I'm with you, man. Like, they didn't even, like, there's no forgiving Dallas for me, if I'm you, Jamie, for that trade. And I'm with you on Luka getting to shape is not proof the Mavs were right. It is proof that Luka was so hurt, he was going to go out there and he was going to prove him wrong. And I'll add this, too, because I did not say this earlier in the show. And if you missed this, for me, Luka's new sort of body, if you've seen this in the Men's Health Journal Express Times thing, the feature, Men's Health? Men's Health, okay. I don't read these magazines anymore. I don't. I think it's a revenge bot. It's like someone who gets broken up with. I'll add this, though. I'm speculating. I'm not reporting. LeBron, you don't have to get on X and yell at me again. I also think LeBron's petulance toward the Lakers, how put out he is, his I'll be somewhere else in a year antics, I don't think they're directed at Luka. But they're because of Luka. LeBron's not used to being replaced. I think Luka also knows, on top of being motivated for a revenge bod against his former Mavericks team that in effect broke up with him, I think he knows that LeBron's not going to make the transition easy and that he is going to be held at a very high standard, even for Luka Doncic. And then if he fails in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years, LeBron's not going to be afraid to get on his podcast with his wine and be like, oh, I'm in Luka, that didn't win, I won. That's a real thing, too. I think Luka's going to be incredible this upcoming year. And I find him strangely likable in all of this. I mean, it's hard to make the kind of money he made to tell officials to bleep off all the time. To, let's be fair and frank, not have been in the kind of shape he should have been in the past, and to be a sympathetic figure. And he is. Sometimes you need a motivation. Ryan, I stepped on a scale. For Luka, it was the Mavericks breaking up with him. I stepped on a scale 4 weeks ago. And there was I looked at the number, you know, when you step on a scale, it tells you how much you weigh. Right? And there was a tear in the fabric of the universe. You might have heard it. I've lost 11 pounds since then. I was like, okay, it's time to eat better. And I already play a lot of sports, but apparently you have to also, you know, work out on top of the sports. Point is, everyone has their own motivating sort of thing. I don't know what yours will be when you are older.
I'll have to figure that out, maybe. But yeah. Are people now confusing you with Luka Doncic?
Yes.
You both are just shredded.
I'm tired of people speaking to me in Serbian. Yeah, I don't speak that language, so it's tricky, you know? It's hard. Dude, if he maintains this focus, in shape Luka's scary thought. You know what else is scary? Not getting NFL insight, but we have a solution for that. That was a great transition. I should do this for a living. Ari Mirov joins me next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Writer with you. Absolute treat, our next guest. First time on the show. Incredible NFL reporter, insider, analyst. Great follow on X or Twitter or whatever I call it now. Very excited that Ari Mirov is on the show for the first time. Again, amazing social media follow at My Sports Update, host of the NFL Spotlight Show over on YouTube. Check that out. Ari, good morning, man. Thanks for I'm excited you're here. Thanks for being on the show.
Bill, of course. I appreciate you having me on. It's great to be on. And it's amazing. Football season, you can feel it. You feel that the grass is out there. It's pretty awesome.
It's go time. And I'm gonna give you my biases here as I ask these questions, because I'm not a Chiefs fan per se, but I lived in Kansas City for a long time. I worked at the Kansas City Star for a long time. In another life, I wrote about the Chiefs. My kids were born there. They love Patrick Mahomes. And in my house, and maybe it's just irrational, my children believe, whether it is the general discourse in the NFL, whether it's the rankings on Madden and not having a 99 rating like some of his contemporaries, that Patrick Mahomes has been maybe underappreciated or taken for granted. Does that reflect, do you think, reality, or is that just fandom looking for reasons to feel like if you're a Chiefs fan, Mahomes doesn't get the shine he deserves?
No, Bill, I actually agree with you, and I've said this before on social media, on my shows. I think people take for granted just how special he is, and it's not just that. I think a lot of fans have just become accustomed to everything, and they just think it's normal with him, when it's just not. You know, like the stuff that he does on the field. The abilities that he has, the deep passes, the acrobatic passes, the sidearm passes, whatever it is, what he's able to do on the football field, regardless of how many points they're down. I mean, there was a time, you know, in the beginning of this dynasty era where they were just coming back from down 14, 21, 24, whatever it was, as if it was nothing. And I think people were like, yeah, we expect that to happen. And it's like, no, this is not normal in the NFL. And I think that's kind of has become the norm over the last couple of years. And the great thing about Patrick is that any type of thing that is out there, he'll use it as motivation. If he was not 99 in the Madden ratings, he's using that as motivation. When he was not the number one player in the NFL top 100, he used that as motivation. When he played the Bears on Sunday Night Football years ago, he threw a touchdown pass. He counted on his fingers all the way to 10 because they had the number 2 overall pick, and he slid all the way to number 10. He uses everything as motivation. I love that about him. So I do agree there's an element of us taking him for granted because the talent that he has and the stuff he's able to do on the football field, it's quite unique, and there are not many people like him.
All right, Mirov, here on the show. You're so right. I completely agree with you. And I think part of what's fascinating about that reality in human nature is it's not as if the Chiefs lost in the second round last year, right? And we're sort of looking past their body of work. They were in a Super Bowl last year. They didn't win, but they were in it. And so this question remains, and I think I ask this of people at your expertise level every time they come on, but I'm curious, this year, if you're looking at the AFC and you're rooting against the Chiefs, is there a team or two you can confidently point to and say, all right, this is finally the team that, at least for a season, displaces the Chiefs atop the AFC hierarchy?
You know, Bill, I feel like there's this thing every year as training camp comes along where we're just trying to find teams that we could say are better than the teams that have been consistently good. Like every single year, we come up with, you know, the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals. You try to up the Chargers, and I get it. All those teams are good. All those teams have great quarterbacks as well. They've made moves here in the offseason. But year in and year out, the team that ends up in the AFC, last one standing, has always been the Kansas City Chiefs. And you could definitely point to stuff and say, oh, maybe the offensive line has had some shuffling. Will it be good? Like, you could complain about different things and try to point at potential blemishes. But at the end of the day, the last few years, they've been the team that's last standing. And that's why the last couple of years, my Super Bowl prediction has been with the Chiefs in there. And until a team is able to prove to me that come January, they could take them down, whether it's in the wild card round, divisional round, or AFC championship game, I'm going to continue to have them up there. Now, I will say there are a plethora of teams in this AFC that are pretty good. It's not even comparable to what the NFC has. I mean, there's a lot of young, amazing quarterbacks and some really, really good rosters and some amazing head coaches in the AFC. But at the same time, I'm not going to take Kansas City off the number one right now when it comes to that team, that roster, that quarterback, and of course, those coaches. And it's an underrated aspect. Every single year, your coaches are intact. Nobody takes them for head coaching jobs. Maggie's there. Steve Spagnuolo's there. Dave Taub is there, special teams coordinator. Like, those guys are not moving, and that has been an underrated benefit that they've had year in and year out. They don't get rated like other teams do.
Talking to Ari Mirov here on the show, 33rd team NFL reporter, writer, host of the NFL Spotlight Show on YouTube, and a great follow over on X at My Sports Update. Ari, when you're talking to sources, when you're sort of getting the temperature of the league, what is the general expectation level for what is going to be a really interesting Steelers team? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is one of the more interesting headline grabbers, but they've made some commitments and they brought in some guys who are talented. It feels like Mike Tomlin and co. are really focused on trying to get that elusive playoff win. What's the sense out there about what they can be and what their legitimate prospects are?
Yeah, it's one of the more unique teams going into this season with all the moves that they made. And there's an element where it feels like an all-in approach, but there's also an element where there's still a bunch of building blocks on this team for the future, and they still have 12 draft picks next year. But this is an organization and a team that is ever been viewed as the model franchise in the NFL, and they're not about just making the playoffs, which is a plus and a win for a bunch of other teams. They're about winning playoff games and getting far in the playoffs and making Super Bowls, and the reality is they have not done that in a very, very long time when it comes to winning playoff games. And I think pressure kind of feels on a little bit for Mike Tomlin, who has been there for a long time. All the quarterback moves over the last couple of years of trading Kenny Pickett and signing Russell Wilson and trading for Justin Fields and now signing Aaron Rodgers this offseason, The GM, Omar Khan, definitely was the one pushing the buttons and making it happen. But the guy who was being aggressive and telling Omar to do it has been Mike Tomlin. So I think there's a lot of pressure going into this year about not just having a winning season, which is all great, and he's never had a losing season. That's cool. It's about actually winning a playoff game and trying to go a little bit further than that. And when you look at that roster, like I said, there are building blocks for the future, but there's a lot of guys right now who are kind of on the back end of their career or on third contracts, that is, the T.J. Watts and the Cameron Hayward and the Darius Slays and obviously Aaron Rodgers and, you know, DK Metcalf they traded for, but he's a third contract guy. Like, all these guys are veteran guys who are in win-now mode. So I think there's an element over here that they need to kind of win a playoff game, maybe even two, just to call the season a success. And if it's not, there's definitely been those rumblings around the NFL about Mike Tomlin and would he ever consider a fresh scenery, or if he ever wants to go into the media, he would be great at it. So I think just keep an eye on that and how they do this year and what it means for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, Ari, that's really interesting. And obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to be, he's going to be 42 before the season ends. And you noted this, the AFC is, it is brutal. I mean, it's a slog. How realistic is it from your vantage point or the vantage point of the people you talk to around the NFL that the Steelers are likely to make the playoffs and then win a playoff game?
So, Bill, every year I feel like when we make our predictions and everything, like, people tend to leave the Steelers out, and in some way, somehow, they end up with that 9-8 or 10-7 record and sneak in, even though the AFC is loaded. So, again, Mike Tomlin has that history of finding a way to get their winning season and get into the playoffs. The big question is really what they do once they get there. So, I'm not going to doubt their chances of getting in, even though it's going to be very difficult. If you look at the AFC North, the Ravens, of course, have been near the top the last couple of years, but you could definitely find some blemishes on some of these other teams, like the Bengals. There's questions about the defense, question about Trey Hendrickson. There's the interior of the offensive line. So there's a question there. The Browns have four different quarterbacks there. So there is a path over here for the Steelers to compete in the AFC North and potentially get into the dance. I'm not going to rule that out. But again, the bigger picture of you here is how it all gels and how it all goes as the season goes. And if they do make the playoffs, are they actually going to go far? Because again, if they don't, I think there's going to be some serious conversation at the end of the season about where the direction of this team is going into 2026.
Ari Muroff here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. Ari, you mentioned Trey Hendrickson, Micah Parsons, Terry McLaurin, also guys who are at crossroads with their organizations. Do you see a likelihood that one or more of those guys could be without a deal when week one actually gets going?
I mean, the element of the NFL is deadline spur action. The deadline here really is the start of the season week one. Last year, for example, Dak Prescott quite literally got his deal on the morning of week one before their game versus the Cleveland Browns. All three of those situations that you mentioned right now, it's been a complicated negotiation with all three of them. Terry, it should be, everyone would think it's a straightforward thing. He's a model player on the field, off the field. There's so much success and happiness in Washington. They finally turned it around. That negotiation has been brutal. Like, they have not been able to figure it out. And when Terry says he's frustrated, like, he is genuinely pissed off. And I think there's going to be more things coming out about this here, potentially in the near future, about how he feels about all of it. I know he's in the building. He's not practicing. He has a quote-unquote ankle injury, which is the way of saying you're holding in. So we'll see where that goes. I don't see him getting dealt anywhere. Like, he's part of that team, but he's not happy with the negotiations. The one that has a real shot of really being contentious and going into the season is Trey Hendrickson. I've had Trey Hendrickson on my show, NFL Spotlight, talking about his career and journey. He's a big, you know, faith guy, and, like, everything is from God, like that type of a guy. Like, he's somebody that when he says he's not going to play this year, he believes that's a message from you, that he should not play this year, and that's the way he believes, and that's the way it's going to be. And I truly believe him. And so I would just keep a very, very close eye on his situation, because, again, that is about guaranteed money. They've not been willing to give him more than 1 year guaranteed. And his people and he himself on the record has now said it, that if I don't get what I want, I'm in a situation right now where I am not going to show up, and I believe him. So that's the one to definitely keep an eye on over here, because they've been stuck for months and even a couple of off seasons now when it comes to doing a new deal.
Great insight here from Ari Mirov on the show. All right. Last one for you. Full disclosure, but I want you to be honest. I'm a Bears fan, but I'm used to suffering and I'm used to sort of sadness. So you can give me whatever answer is the right answer. I am fascinated by the NFC North. Detroit lost two of its coordinators. Green Bay has this ceiling, but they haven't quite pushed through. Not at the levels that maybe we came to expect under Aaron Rodgers. And the Vikings have a new quarterback. And then obviously the Bears have all these changes, and can Caleb Williams break through? How do you slot that division? Who do you like, and where do you place the Bears in that pecking order?
I think it's the most fun division going into this year, along with the AFC West. I mean, last year, three playoff teams getting in. At one point, people kind of forget the Bears were 4-2. I'm sure you didn't forget, but they were 4-2 on their way to 5-2.
I remember.
And of course, they Hail Mary happened. So,
yep.
So you look at that team. I mean, they have done everything they were supposed to do this offseason. The head coach, they got the brightest one that was out there. The offensive line, they did everything they could to fix it. So I like where they are from a roster standpoint. The other three teams in that division, though, that's hard. Like, that's going to be hard. And each one of them has something else going on. Like Detroit, they lost all their coordinators. They lost their starting center who's calls out their protections. So, like, that's a team where you could see maybe they take a slight step back. The Vikings have a new quarterback. We don't know anything about it when it comes to J.J. McCarthy. So, but 14 wins maybe become 9 wins. You don't know about that. So, it's a very, very difficult division. Ben Johnson is an incredible head coach, but getting his offense down is not something that happens overnight. And that's probably been the one big talking point when it comes to the Bears in the early days of training camp right now with Caleb Williams, because they are giving him so many different things right now to get a grasp of and see how much he's able to take in and understand. And eventually, as the training camp gets, you know, longer and longer, they're going to dwindle it down to see where it goes. But I want to see really where this training camp ends up going and how it all unfolds. I've been keeping a very close eye on all the Bears reporters out there and seeing the training camp reports out there. So I'm not ready to make a prediction there, but I think this is going to be the most exciting division going into this year, and one that, just like last year, could go all the way down to Week 18.
It is, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. It may also be miserably painful, but it's, again, I'm as a Bears fan, I'm used to it. I'm accustomed to it. It's okay. Ari, loved having you on the show, man. I love your work. Follow you on X. The NFL Spotlight show on YouTube is great. Thank you for, in a busy time, making time.
Of course, well, anytime, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Ari Mirov on the show. First time we've had him on the program. Great stuff. Great perspective, a phenomenal follow on social media, at My Sports Update, which is a really good handle. I wish I had that. At My Sports Update. He was great, Ryan. By the way, this is a Ryan Hickey recommendation. Executive producer coming through.
Let's go. Let's go.
I don't think he thinks the Bears are going to win the division.
It was a politically correct answer to not, yeah, tell you
very
the
reasonable.
Truth
that yeah, very reasonable.
Your hopes
they
and
would.
Dreams will not come true this year. It's
they could
say.
Though. They could though. They won't.
I would agree.
Here's the thing: the Cardinals are not going to win their division, right? There are some teams you can point to, and you can say that team is not going to. The Cowboys are not going to win the Super Bowl, right? There are some predictions that feel pretty safe. I think the Bears can win the division. I also think the Lions, Packers, and Vikings are all much more likely to win the division. They all can too. It's a great division.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Who's got a better chance to win their division? The Bears or the Chargers?
Oh, great question.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I think I would say the Bears.
I do too.
I don't trust the Chargers yet to break through. I think the Chiefs people are sleeping on them, and I agree with what you and Ari both said about, I think, kind of getting tired of them, so you're looking for the new shiny thing, but they're still really damn
right.
good. And
yeah.
the Lions, you do, like, they have a very talented roster. Lost some O-line pieces, and I do have two new
yep.
coordinators is no
two
joke.
New coordinators. If J.J. McCarthy doesn't work out.
Right, yeah.
And he hasn't looked great. It's early. I didn't even want to bring up his name yesterday, but he threw the other day 39 interceptions, I think, or something like that.
Not great.
Don't have the exact number in front of me. Let's go with 39. and put an asterisk next to it. And then the Packers are really good, but there's a world where maybe the shine comes off a little bit too of those three other teams in the NFC North. Maybe. There's also a world where the Bears are also terrible and the Packers just walk backwards into the division title, but that's not what we're rooting for. We are rooting for buy or sell because it's a great segment. It's got headlines from around sports. It's got a take on each one, and it's got a question put in there by Ryan Hickey that will change the very way you view the NFL. At least it did for me. It's next year on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
When I was in high school, I used to go country line dancing outside of Dubuque, Iowa, because that was where all the girls were.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
You got any of those moves left in the old tank?
I didn't have moves in the tank back then. I'd be turning the wrong direction and just, you know, they'd be doing stuff with their legs. I didn't know. Would you like to go on a date? No? Okay. Great time.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
Welcome back into the show. I have a deep voice now. Man's man. Good morning. What's up? How's it going? What is this song you're just playing? It sounded awful.
Oh, what? Really?
What is it? What is it?
It's called Feels Great. You know, a little uplift.
Did it feel great? Who's it by?
I don't know. I'm terrible at artists. I'll find out.
For you, I'm sure you don't have to.
Is that a one and done? Really? You're not into that?
No. Dude, you have earned total autonomy on the music. And just my taste may not be the tastes of everyone.
But if you don't like it, I'm not going to play songs on the show that you don't like. So Feels Great by Cheat Codes and featuring Fetty Wap. That's
Cheap Codes?
Cheat.
Yeah, I know. I heard you. Oh. I just make a little. Yeah.
I see. Okay. We'll scratch
this. I want you to do you, okay? I want you to be happy and do your thing with your music. Live your music dreams. Okay. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
All right, Bill, let's start with a very, I guess, weird story. So last week, the Raiders shocked the NFL world when they released their defensive tackle Christian Wilkins just 1 year after signing him to a four-year, $110 million deal. Now, Wilkins was released primarily because of a disagreement on the handling of a foot injury he suffered last year. He got surgery for it. Raiders thought he needed another surgery. He disagreed, thus was released, and his guaranteed money was voided. But yesterday, Adam Schefter reported that Wilkins was also released in part because he playfully kissed a teammate on the head. Buy or sell? You buy that part of the reason Christian Wilkins was released was because he kissed a teammate on the head.
Sell. I think a part of the reason was 4 years and $110 million. So this is a really interesting topic. And there was a human resources complaint that was put in. Look, I don't have the details. I don't know what happened. My initial reaction, and I'm curious, Ryan, if you think this is off, and maybe is give me a break. I don't want somebody kissing me on the head, all right? I don't. But I have met some weirdos who I like who are overly affectionate. And if somebody came over and, you know, put their arm around me when we were out drinking or something after the radio show and, like, gave me a kiss on the temple, I'd be like, bro, don't touch me. And he'd go, okay. And I'd be like, no, I'm serious, man. And that would be that. You know, like, HR complaint?
I'm with you. I think it's a lot worse.
Give me a break.
Truth will come out eventually. There's no chance that's all it was.
I mean, you're going lips. Okay, yeah, sure. HR, get human resources in here.
Even still.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question. So, again, I'm not Mickey Mantle here, but I like to play sports like a lot of us do. Right? And
all right, Mickey,
you like that?
I do like that.
Thank you.
I mean, you couldn't listen to any athlete. That's a hell of a pull.
And I've transitioned from playing a lot of hoops to a lot of tennis. Whatever. And every now and then I'll get a little slap on the behind from a guy. And I'll be a little like, okay, right? Like, what am I? Right? A little nice shot, buddy. The change. And it happened more in hoop. Right? A little, I'm not going to slap a guy on the tush. It's just, that's not my move. But when it happens three times a year, I don't run to the tennis facility and be like, this guy can't be here. Who cares? What do you buy or sell the butt slap, the affectionate dude-to-dude butt slap?
I think if it's like between friends.
Buy.
In an athletic situation, I think it's more than okay.
Well, yeah, it's not like we're going to dinner.
I mean, if I know man, you over
the I got to use the bathroom. Get me an old-fashioned. And then, bam, no.
Go behind the bar, tap the bartender on the toast. This is a great drink.
No, but these aren't buddies of mine. These are like people that I kind of casually know that I, you know. One guy did it. Like, yeah, nice. I was kicking the nice game, pal. And gave me like a butt slap. And I kind of know him.
In that situation.
So.
Okay, so it's like three times a year we'll play.
That's pretty weird.
Point is, that's more acceptable than the kiss on the forehead. But in both cases, not my vibe. But I'm not gonna get mad about it. You know. Although the kiss, I would be like, "Hey, bro, no thanks."
I'm good on that. Thank you, sir. The Buccaneers showed their affection to their quarterback Baker Mayfield not by slapping him on the toast or kissing him on the head, but instead, giving him some guaranteed money.
Got it.
So they announced yesterday they have guaranteed $30 million of Baker Mayfield's salary in 2026, giving the quarterback some financial security as he goes into the last year of his deal, which would be next year. Now, last year, Mayfield finished top three in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and passer rating, and he combined, as you go back to 2023, to throw 69 touchdown passes, which is third behind only Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. Buy or sell? Baker Mayfield is the most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
And he has won what in Tampa Bay? Two playoff games?
He has won one playoff game.
One playoff game. First of all, I'll buy your question.
Buy.
Second of all, our boss David just walked in. I can see on Skype. Did you get a kiss in the back of the head?
I did, yes.
Buy or sell, you're going to HR.
Sell.
Yeah, who cares? Not a big deal. You look so uncomfortable.
No, it's just
You know what? I'm not involved. I didn't see anything. I take it back. I saw nothing. I don't understand the tush slap. I understand where it originates from. I just don't get it.
Is it?
I'd rather have a playful punch in the arm. Like, nice job, you know?
Oh, really? Or like a slap in the back?
I'm a back slapper.
That kind of stings.
Or a shoulder slapper. Palm.
Okay, shoulder.
Well, I don't open palm it. I'm not going to hurt you.
Well, if you close fist, then you're punching him in the back.
No, but like a light little shoulder. Like, you know, not going to hurt. Like, dude, nice.
I'm a big fist bump guy. I love fist bump.
I'll fist bump too. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't need the tush pad. I just don't. I mean, it happens.
I also think it's acceptable in like professional sports. I think if you're playing
different thing
tennis in a league in your neighborhood or pickup, whatever it is, any sport that's
basketball.
Not in the NFL, MLB.
It happened a lot in pickup basketball.
That's
happened maybe
weird.
10 times a year.
That's weird.
Right.
Now in tennis, do you do the racket slap to the ass?
Yeah. You know what? I will get those, but I don't care. That's fine. You know,
that's less yeah.
Yeah.
You just got some sort of barrier there. Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe the ass slaps come back, I guess, in all parts of life. Browns quarterback Kenny Pickett will be held out of practice this week as he deals with a hamstring injury. Head coach Kevin Stefanski yesterday was asked how the first team quarterback reps then will be split. Here was his answer.
It really depends on the period and what we're trying to get accomplished in there, but Joe would get the majority of it.
Joe being, of course, Joe Flacco. Buy or sell?
Yep.
The Browns are only hurting themselves if they don't give Shedeur Sanders first team reps.
Look, I'll sell. Here's
sell.
You can't. There's a legitimate argument. There's a reasonable football philosophy among coaches that first team reps are highly valuable. And if they are, that you don't want to dilute them with your fourth-string quarterback. Now, the counter-argument would be, why did you draft the guy even in the fifth-round pick? I know that's where you're coming from. Let me ask you a question to make my point, and maybe you'll disagree. Buy or sell, you trust that organizations can evaluate their talent before we get to this part of training camp where guys are doing reps?
Sell.
Really? You have to have reps to know.
In general, it does change from team to team, because I think some teams have shown the ability to prove that they don't need a lot and know what they're doing. I think a lot of teams don't.
I think and the Browns would be the team that didn't if that
right.
Holds.
You don't know what you don't like. I mean, here's a one. I mean, notice an extreme example, like Brock Purdy. Right, part of the reason why he played, like, let's just not pretend they picked him in the last pick and knew, oh, this guy's going to be our starting quarterback.
Yeah, but I'm not talking the draft so much as my guess would be by the time they got to this stage of Brock Purdy's first training camp, Kyle Shanahan was like, oh, if we throw that guy into first team reps, he might be okay. We're seeing stuff in general from him. Maybe not. I mean, what do you want? What are you gonna like? Here's the thing: if you don't think Shador's good enough, why waste the time giving the first team reps?
I mean, I guess it depends.
If you're watching him get reps and you're not impressed with what you're seeing, although he did have good sort of the eyeball test through three touchdowns against other second, third teams.
But all those guys, like, part of that is like everyone he's going against in those reps with rosters now doubled, like they're gonna be cut. Like they're not even NFL players,
right? They're not.
So it's like, how do you even?
So
know?
Maybe he. Like my point is, maybe he didn't look good in some other spots.
And if that's true, also, but it's like, okay, he's like, if you're doing quarterback drills, accuracy drills, and he's like, oh, I don't know, like, can you really tell by just doing individual workouts?
I think coaches think they can. Yes, I think.
And you agree with that philosophy, like, okay, I can just based on this quarterback work, and I know if this guy's got it or not.
Not if you have three quarterbacks competing, but you have four. I think this goes back to the original sin. Should you have drafted Shador Sanders with a fifth round pick?
But it's also, Kenny Pickett at least has been a veteran, has been around. Joe Flacco's a million years old, and he's got 100 million reps. And you got two rookies. The Browns, I know you don't go into, I know Kevin's fancy's not saying, oh, guys, who cares? You know, we're not going to be very good this year, so whatever. But it's also like, you have no, there is no certainty. What's the harm? What's the worst that happens? Right. He confirms your thoughts initially. He stinks, and you cut him. Okay.
But. You know this, Ryan. Coaches don't operate the same way GMs do. Coaches, especially proud ones like Kevin Stefanski, don't go, well, my GM drafted him and the media cares, so I'm going to give him... That's not how they operate. They operate with this code of, I run my football team the right way, and the right way is you earn the reps. And like it or not like it, that's football.
I agree with that point. I think it's wrong
also,
by most coaches.
Kevin Stefanski doesn't give two bleeps about next year because he might lose his job. So it's just like he is going to maximize. Do I think that two different series of reps, that 15 different throws with the first team are going to make the difference between Dylan Gabriel or Kenny Pickett or Joe Flacco being top 10 quarterbacks or bottom 10 quarterbacks? No, I don't. Does Kevin Stefanski? Probably he does because he's an NFL football coach. That commodity is much more valuable to Stefanski than it is to you and I. That rep.
Speaking of head coaches.
Oh, wow.
Former NFL head coach and Super Bowl champion John Gruden was at Lions training camp yesterday, and he told the media he desperately wants to coach in the league again. Now, as a reminder, Gruden's been out of the NFL since 2021 when emails that contained homophobic, racist, and misogynistic comments were released. Buy or sell, you believe John Gruden will coach in the NFL again?
Sell. I don't think
sell.
Do you? Do you think? I don't think he'll get a chance. And I think I'm not even, put all that stuff aside, I'm not even sure that the game hasn't passed him by a little bit.
I had that thought before even the emails came out.
Me too.
2020, 2021, the Raiders, it's not like they were lighting it up and
no.
He was reinventing the wheel again.
He's a motivator, right? He motivates guys and he's a good soundbite. But I don't know if he's been living it and breathing it like Ben Johnson and grinded for, you know? The game moves fast.
And to buy or sell, example, is it worth it? Like the headache.
I agree. Buy or sell, one of the most underrated stories in football has been the fact that Andy Reid has been able to keep pace with the game offensively.
Buy.
Chip Kelly has been. John Gruden has been. I mean, just go down the list of guys. But Andy Reid is still an innovator? It's amazing.
You could argue even Bill Belichick has been the last few years.
Has been.
But
Jordan Hudson's going to fix it.
She's the innovation Bill's missing the last few years in New England. Wasn't Tom Brady on the roster?
I mean, her name is Jordan Innovation Hudson.
She spells Jordan with an O. That's innovation. That's the new way to spell it. Remember this A garbage? We're going to change the way it's sleeker. Boom, Jordan. Let's go. Slicker
Boom.
Bill Belichick. Here we go. Yesterday, Bill, it was reported that a meeting between the MLB commissioner and the Phillies last week was contentious. Bryce Harper reportedly got in the face of Rob Manfred and told him to get out of the clubhouse, in not so nice words, when he wanted to bring up a salary cap. Buy or sell, you have an issue with how Bryce Harper spoke, his tone, when speaking to the MLB commissioner?
I mean, sell. You want to, you know, bleepy, bleepity, bleep. That's fine. It's baseball. I've seen Major League. I used to cover the sport. I know how it works. A lot of F-bombs. But as I noted at the start of the show, I love it. Bring on whatever it takes, lockout, strike included, to create a salary cap and a floor. It's got to be negotiated properly, but I'm here for it.
And then finally here, yesterday came out, Emmanuel Clase, closer for the Guardians, is now under investigation for gambling. He's not the first Guardians pitcher to be under investigation for gambling. His teammate Luis Ortiz is also under investigation as well by MLB. You look across the NBA, Jontay Porter, Michael Beasley, those guys either been convicted or also being investigated for gambling as well. So a lot more athletes now getting involved in gambling in all the wrong ways. Buy or sell, you believe all professional athletes should not be allowed to gamble on anything.
100% buy.
Buy.
And this is why. I'm not worried about 98% of the folks, but if you are a problem gambler, you get yourself in hock to gambling, it's going to be tempting to go bet on your own sport. And I know gambling is legal, but I also know problem gamblers. I've known some people in my life who were serious problem gamblers, and when they would lose too much money at places that were legitimate, they would then go to places that weren't. And you don't want ball players or basketball players or football players or hockey players owing money all over town to unsavory characters who are going to say to them, here's how you get right with us. It could be a huge problem. Very quickly, we've gone long. We're not supposed to go this long. It's my fault. You don't get nervous about going long, and so we always are usually on track. Your predecessor, Pretty Daddy, would get so put out when we went long. So I would take us long every time just to mess with them. Buy or sell, it makes me a bad guy.
Sell.
Anything to push Thomas' buttons is a buy in my book.
It's just an accident with you because you don't seem, you're like, okay, you're so chill. Right, great stuff. Great work, Ryan. Great job. Ryan Sandberg is one of my favorite players of all time. Cubs legend. Had the opportunity to interact with him a couple times briefly. Class act. We're going to remember. I'm going to tell you about Rhino and why he was so special to so many fans. After Flash, Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, NFL headquarters was the target of yesterday's deadly mass shooting in Manhattan. That, according to NYC Mayor Eric Adams, he said the alleged shooter had a note on him claiming to have CTE from playing football. The man went to the wrong elevator bank, though, so he never reached league offices. One NFL employee was wounded on the ground level of the building yesterday, while four others, including a police officer, were killed. The injured league employee is in stable condition and reportedly worked in the league's finance department. Sadness as well in the baseball world following the passing of Hall of Fame second baseman Ryan Sandberg. The Cubs legend was just 65 years old. He announced in December that his prostate cancer had returned and spread to other organs. On the field last night, the Angels snapped the Rangers' six-game win streak, 6-4. The Astros' losing streak hit 5, 2-1 to the Nationals. Shohei Ohtani had the tie-breaking two-run double in the Dodgers' 5-2 win in Cincinnati. And the Guardians gave up four runs top nine, lost to the Rockies 8-6. This coming just hours after All-Star closer Emmanuel Clase was placed on non-disciplinary paid leave while part of that MLB gambling investigation. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Mariners starter Luis Castillo cruised through seven innings, allowing just one run and five hits while striking out four batters as Seattle beat the A's 3-1 Monday night. The win pulled the Mariners to within a half game of the Yankees for the top wild card spot in the American League. That's another market, Seattle. I'd love to see have more success. I think that's the only major American sports city I've never been to. Have you been to Seattle?
No, I've not.
Me either. I heard it's cool. I heard it's awesome.
Heard it's beautiful.
It's far away, though, from a lot of stuff.
Tucked in that corner is a little difficult to make it up there.
It is tucked in the corner, isn't it?
Pacific Northwest. News
came yesterday, very sad news, of the passing of Ryan Sandberg, Rhino, Chicago Cubs legend. Amazing Gold Glove winning second baseman, home run hitter by the standards of his era, class act. I don't know if you remember this, Ryan. I'm a Cubs fan, so it's a little more imprinted in my memory. He gave a Hall of Fame acceptance speech in which he really admonished people who cheated the game and used steroids and praised people who did it the right way. And they were brief interactions. I had two interactions with Ryan Sandberg. So when I was a kid, my parents, my dad and mom, used to take me and my brother to Cubs games when we lived in the Chicago suburbs and a little bit when we were in Iowa. And back in the day, it's gone now, Wrigley Field had this yellow parking lot right attached to the ballpark where the players pulled in. And you could just walk right up to this yellow chain link fence, I should say, and just stand there and try to do autographs. And I'll never forget, remember Jerome Walton? You probably don't. He won Rookie of the Year. He wouldn't sign autographs. He'd play his music, whatever. Ryan Sandberg would stand there for hours and sign anyone who could wait long enough. And it's not as if we had a whole conversation, but I just remember as a kid, right, as a 9 or 10-year-old kid in awe of these guys, even then as a child recognizing how kind that was. And he was the biggest star on that team. It's 1989. And then years later, weirdly, I was in Chicago. I lived in Chicago for a brief time as a kid. I lived there for a summer working at the Chicago Tribune. But as an adult, I never lived there. And I was back in Chicago for some reason, because I'm from Iowa, nearby, next state next door, hanging out with my friend Reed Forgrave, who we've had on the show. And we had a few, as Ryan likes to say, pops. Is that what you like to say? You had a few pops?
Nice.
Which is not a soda. I had several drinks. And we ended up at a house party next to Wrigley Field. I don't know how we got there. I don't know who we knew. It was, and Ryan Sandberg came in. His son apparently lived there or something. Ryan Sandberg walked through. And he was just saying hi to people, and he was saying hi to his son. I didn't want to, but I said hi, and he was so kind. 10-second, 20-second interaction. And so for me, my memory of Ryan Sandberg is as a child him being kind, as an adult him being kind, as a class act, as an amazing baseball player. And so there's this saying, and I've experienced this. It can often be true. Don't meet your heroes. Ryan Sandberg, Rhino, proved that's not always the case. That sometimes it's a great thing to have happen. There's an enhancement factor. And so as a dude, as a guy that grew up on Ryan Sandberg, loved him as a ball player, incredibly kind man. Everything I heard from people who had longer, more meaningful interactions with him tell me this is who he was. Rest in peace to Ryan Sandberg, one of the greatest players in the history of Cubsdom, one of the great second basemen in the history of the game, and a genuinely kind and good guy. You're younger than me, and you're not a Cubs fan. When you think Ryan Sandberg, I'm curious. Anything come to mind? Do you think a Hall of Famer? Do you know who he is? Like, what's his non-Chicago, non-my generation view of this guy?
For me, never getting to see him in person, or at least remembering it, I would say that just what I remember at least is the power hitting second baseman, right? For a while, had the most home runs by any second baseman. So a guy who had a good glove, but also had a good amount of pop at a position that was pretty rare.
Hit 40 home runs one year when that was a big deal, let alone at second base. Great, great guy. Amazing guy. I bet he never gave anybody the bird when he was driving. Like half the people that I've interacted with in the last. I can't get over this. 5 birds in 8 days while I'm driving around is a lot.
I'm excited to hear what happens today. Where are you going? Please tell me you're in the car driving around somewhere.
I have to drive my son to UCLA today, which is not near my house. That's a lot of driving. I could get 12 birds.
If you live over there in the Hollywood Hills, or gotta be nicer, right? Or maybe meaner?
You just gave me some breaking news. We don't have to do the breaking news alert, but we can if you have it handy. Yeah, that poor guy. Sorry. Well, this is such big breaking news, I just assumed you'd have it. This is life-changing.
Breaking news.
TMZ is reporting that the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, I'm a real worldly guy. And Katy Perry are on a date, and I just wanted to share that with the world.
That's big breaking news. Good for Justin Trudeau.
Yeah, Trudeau. True that.
I mean, I'm also just, I could be completely butchering that.
I think you crushed it.
Maybe this is Canada's version of like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
She's not Canadian, is she?
I don't think so.
How do you ask out Katy Perry if you're, I guess if you're the former Prime Minister of Canada, you just call her and be like, I will have dinner with you. When I just butchered that.
But do you think, for, she's a, like, a star.
She's a global star.
I mean, I'm sure plenty of people have asked her out. Is that
I'm sure he's very charming because he's a politician.
That's also true. Yeah. He has, like, a nice little, like, French accent as well that could help.
Is he from the French part of Canada?
I don't know. But Trudeau sounds French.
It does.
So I'm assuming there's a little accent.
You know, I almost did a French accent. I'm not going to do it. I stopped myself at the very last second. I'm glad Bryce Harper and Robert Manfred don't get along. Good. Fight. Have a lockout. Not for the sake of a lockout. Give me a salary cap. Give me a floor. Take more money from the owners and give it to players and salary, but spread it out and create some competitive balance. Yes. Hell yes. I'm here for it. Thank you to Ari Miroff for being on the show. He was great. Thank you to Ryan Hickey for crushing it. And thank you wherever you're listening. We appreciate you. I'm Bill Ryder. See you back here tomorrow on Ryder Than You.